Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You can tell when a team is really well coached. When Jackson Dart takes the hit from Ellis on the sideline, you know, Ellis, you know, hits him clean, hits him legally, and he gets attacked by Theo Johnson and kind of walks away from, you know, the abrupt reaction from Theo Johnson and the Giant offensive line, because I think the Giants were trying to stir up some emotion or whatever. But Ellis kind of walks away and doesn't get flagged. Like, he just...
Yeah. Theo Johnson was the only one that got the penalty there.
Yeah, so that to me is, that's the coach really having a handle on his players. The players are not going to do something stupid.
Yeah, so I listened to a ton of reaction with this, and to me it is a clean hit. He's going for the first down marker, and he's in bounds, and this is what's going to happen. But I did hear McMonagle driving in talking about how there's so many times that a guy doesn't launch himself like that when a quarterback is near the sideline. And usually it's just a push out of bounds or whatever it may be. But you want to talk about good coaching or coaching up. I can guarantee you that Mike Vrabel and the other coaches were like, this kid has shown that he exposes himself. And if you get an opportunity legally to hit the crap out of him, do it. I mean, that's what this was. This wasn't like, you know, I mean, he's always trying to get that extra yard. He's always trying to fight at the end of these runs. So that's what the coaching was, is don't let him do it. And by the way, like, nobody's talking about how close he was to the first down marker. Like, that's why Christian Ellis hit him the way that he did. He'd want him to get the first down.
Well, the other thing, too, is that both Joe and Troy were talking about it last night, is that the NFL sent out a memorandum about quarterbacks duping the defense and getting an extra couple yards.
Yeah.
And Patrick Mahomes is known to do this. Josh Allen had been known to do this. And the NFL sent out a memorandum to all teams making sure that their quarterbacks knew that they can't protect you on the sideline if you're going to be going for that extra yard. We just can't do it. We're not going to throw the flags anymore because it's not fair to the defense. So if you are in the field of play, you are going to get hit. We are not going to throw the flags anymore. And I thought they explained that really well last night when it came to the NFL putting out the memorandum so all 32 teams understood that every single quarterback is going to be treated the same way on the sidelines if they stay in bounds. Now, if there's 1 foot out of bounds, maybe a little bit of a different story. But we know, like, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, that hit would have been flagged. But no longer.
But he's still in bounds,
though. I know, but no longer is that they used to throw the hits because they really, really wanted to impact the defensive players to let these quarterbacks go out of bounds naturally without taking a hit like this. But since guys were abusing that and defensive players were pulling off of the quarterbacks, they said we're not going to call these penalties anymore. If you guys are near the sideline, you better get out of bounds. If you don't get out of bounds and you get hit, we're not throwing the flag anymore. So I thought Troy and Joe did a great job last night, just with a team that is really going nowhere, the Giants, and a team that's ascending to possibly an AFC championship game in the Patriots. But there were a lot of things that were going on in this game last night that were very interesting, even though the score didn't indicate that.
So if you're a Giants fan that's mad at Christian Ellis or mad at Jackson Dart or mad at the officials or mad at whoever, be mad at Patrick Mahomes for doing what he did to make these officials put a point of emphasis on those type of plays. All right, there's other things have to get to. Abdul Carter sitting down again, being sat down and penalized all the way into the second quarter. It looks like he missed another team meeting or walkthrough, whatever it may be. And it's just unbelievable that after the first time where he gets thrown out there for this, embarrassed, has to sit down, has to answer questions about it. He's falling asleep. No, I'm not falling asleep. I was in this red light therapy thing. All of this, you think he learned his lesson. And here he goes again, being late to or missing another one of these team functions. And Mike Kafka sits him down for an entire quarter, and then he's belligerent about it after the game. Abdul Carter doesn't answer any questions respectfully. He goes, S happens. I just answered that question. I'm not telling you what happened, and is demonstrative in the post game. I mean, this guy feels and looks everything that a bust would be, and it's really, really disconcerting. And I'm not saying his career's over, but for what up until this point, I thought that something could be salvaged, and it still may. But to go through what he went through and the embarrassment of the sleeping, to do it again, and then to talk the way he did in the post game. That's a guy that might never get it, because that embarrassment should straighten you up like that, and it didn't. He repeated his behavior.
It kind of makes you think, like, was this going on when Brian Daboll was the head coach, and is it one of the reasons why Brian Daboll was fired? Like, was there an internal understanding that there was a lack of discipline by players?
I think the answer to that is yes.
I don't know that for a fact, but it makes you think that way, and it makes you think as to why a coach would get fired. And, the way that they were blowing leads, and again, like I was saying the other day, this all goes back to the discipline of football. You know, if you got to be a more disciplined team than the other team. And it's not just game day, it's preparation, it's showing up on time, it's being accountable to your teammates. And, you know, every coach across the country preaches that to their team, whether he's got a star-laden team or whether he's got just a bunch of grinders out there trying to make the best that they possibly can. And by being late to meetings, by sleeping in meetings, by missing treatments or whatever else it may be, because it's significant, because you don't sit a player out for a quarter if it's not significant. It's a significant thing. And, you know, he can say all he wants, I have to be better. I would be sick and tired of hearing that.
Yeah.
I would say, hey, look, you're going to be in street clothes the next couple games. If this is like the fifth or sixth or seventh time that this has happened, it's just that nothing really happened under Brian Daboll in terms of bringing it to the forefront, and now we're all talking about it. So, again, I go back to what Tiki has always said. He hates rookies. He hates rookies because they just don't understand how to be pros. Not all rookies, but just some don't understand how to be pros, don't understand what it takes to win in this league, what the commitment not only to your physical well-being, but also your mental understanding of what's happening on the field. And that's part of the things it sounds like he's missing.
So that is a big part of what Joe Shane has brought here. And when you look around, I understand you can't prevent the injuries. But if you're someone who is evaluating a general manager and you're like, okay, well, one of your first round picks is hurt Malik Nabers. Another one is hurt Kayvon Thibodeau. You've got one guy who never gets on the field in Evan Neal. He's a complete disaster. You got a guy in Deontay Banks who completely sucks. And you got this guy here who can't get his act together. I mean,
I hate to say this, but, you know, if the game's tight last night and they're playing well and, you know, they lose 33-27 or something like that and they're scoring,
which they have the offensive been doing, move.
Yeah,
by
I know.
The way, yeah.
I mean, I can live with that, and I can kind of say, you know, there are remnants of really good players here somewhere. But now, after watching this and this whole Abdul Carter thing and the list that you just put out there, I mean, I don't know how they can keep the same general manager with what the assets are going to be when they're drafting this year.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, like, that to me, again, it's an embarrassment to the organization that the number 3 overall pick is yet again penalized before the game even starts because of something he did internally. Now, they're claiming it, you know, it's obviously some sort of, you know, team rule breakdown or whatever. I mean, it's not hard. You know, you have all these guys, they're all following the same rules. Why is it so hard for somebody who's expected to be so good and thought of himself as being like the next LT or wanting Phil Simms' jersey because he wanted to be 11 like Micah Parsons? Now, it takes a while for a defensive lineman to figure it out, okay? So I will give him another year here. I'll give him another year to mature. I'll give him another year to give, you know, to put muscle on. And, you know, maybe next year he explodes here under a different coaching staff. And I could see the interviews are going to be like, what are you going to do when you have the third overall pick in the draft who's supposed to be great, thinks he's great? What are you going to do to get the best out of him, and how are you going to hold him accountable would be like the first question that I would ask of potential head coaching hires here.
Yeah, and we always talk about it's not just watching the film when it comes to the draft. It's interviewing these guys, and the phrase these days, the in vogue phrases, do these guys love ball? How much does he love ball? How much is he dedicated to it? Yeah. So that's a big part of it. So we could sit here and say that, you know, everybody in the world would watch Abdul Carter in at Penn State and want to draft him in the top five. And of course, his name was up there with every one of these teams. But who knows? We're not in those interviews. I don't know what I heard there. I mean, they made a whole big stink about how, you know, Shedeur Sanders was the worst interview in the world. I don't know what Abdul Carter did. So it's either one of those things that they weren't able to see a red flag about this guy caring and showing up to meetings on time, for God's sakes. One of the easiest things. I mean, you talk to me about how hard the NFL can be, you know, from a time budgeting standpoint and staying healthy and learning the playbooks. One thing you can do is be on time. That's the easiest freaking thing that you could do, or not miss the meeting or miss your schedule. So it's either that you weren't able to find the red flags of this guy not caring, or when he got in a building, he's got his ass kicked so much he felt like he could do whatever the hell he wanted. Mm-hmm. I mean, ass kissed so much, not kicked. I mean, they felt like he could do whatever the hell he wanted because he was a number three overall pick, and he was this, he was that, I'm the next LT, my ass.
These are the attributes of a losing team, though.
Yeah.
You know, you fired two coaches. You know, you're going to fire the special teams coach this morning.
Yeah,
I mean, right. Jesus God, I mean, that was a disaster yesterday. But again, it goes lockstep with a losing team, a losing mentality, a losing culture. And then to have your third overall pick, you know, turn out to be what he's turned out to be. You know, one of the reasons, you know, I thought that they picked up the fifth year option for Kayvon Thibodeau is because I felt like they believed that he matured, that he was willing to stop the run and willing to do more. And he actually, that play on the tush push against Philadelphia is another one of those mind-boggling moments that the Giants have had this year that did not go their way.
Yeah.
And it should have went their way.
Sure.
And it could have changed the entire game. You know, it's like on Thanksgiving, you had the Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions, okay? Green Bay's got the ball inside the 10-yard line. They have a false start play on fourth down. And you could see that the false start play on fourth down is a false start because the player moves before Matt LaFleur calls timeout. And you could see it on the video.
Yep.
And yet, nobody said anything. They gave Green Bay the timeout. Next play, touchdown. Game is completely changed. If there were ever a moment for New York to invoke itself into a game and make sure that they get the call right, that would have been the New York replay assist right there.
Sure.
Hey, the guy moved before the timeout was called. And then the question after the game was, well, was he running down the sideline yelling timeout, timeout? Well, if the referee doesn't hear it, the official doesn't hear it, the side judge doesn't hear it, then he's not. Doesn't matter what he's saying.
Right. The timeout was awarded when he started moving his hands and signaling timeout.
And this came after the false start.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is an annoyance of this replay assist where that, and I'm sure it's not under the rules where you can replay assist it, but if you think about it just in common sense, the common sense is there's the movement, there's the timeout call. The common sense should say the penalty should be awarded or be taken off for the Packers and forget the timeout. But no, they let the game go. And, you know, it's just another instance in which, you know, I think there was a major mistake being made and should be corrected.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Giants are—they're close. I think they're close. They don't worry, everybody. They're getting closer. Dart is back. Maybe Kafka's got it. Joe Shane speaking today. They're close at 2-11. They're better than the 2-11 talent, though. They got to be better than that.
Yeah, listen, they're going in the right direction. What a circus! This is worse than I thought. All right. So obviously, Jackson Dart avoiding hits is something we're going to talk about. Yep. We could get to that in a minute. To me, the thing that jumps out here, man, oh man, how loose of a ship did Brian Daboll run? Are you trying to tell me that, like, in the last week or two, Abdul Carter's suddenly acting unprofessional? Like, this is a new occurrence? I mean, so the first punishment is a series. The next punishment's a quarter. The next one, I'm sure, will be a half. And then maybe we'll get around to actually sitting his ass down for a whole game. You know, the other thing that I, now, of course, this is all dropped at Abdul Carter's doorstep. He's the one who is not being professional, all right? But I think bigger picture, Sal, I think this talks to and speaks to a real lack of veteran leadership. Like, the way, like, he's not just doing this now. I'd have to think, it's a guess, all right? But I'd have to think that Abdul Carter, for the most part, since he was drafted by the Giants, has been a little sloppy, a little unprofessional. And the fact that it's December and he's doing it again, not to mention that he just got reprimanded, just got punished, and still did it immediately afterward. Are there any veterans in there that are saying, hey, young buck, listen, this is how we do it? The answer apparently is no. So not only do the Giants not have a lot of talent, the Giants clearly have no internal leadership. This is a mess.
Yeah, and while I give Kafka credit for trying to hold Abdul Carter accountable, it should, last night should have been the definitive end to Shane, Kafka, any kind of hope. Where we talked about it yesterday going into the show, it could have been, had they won that game, I mean, at the very least be competitive, but had they won that game, give you some optimism, reason to say, hey, you know what, Dart, Kafka, maybe they should get a real look. Well, the way that game went last night, on top of the Carter stuff, for me, I don't want to hear any more about Joe Shane and what he could do and what Kafka could do. Clean break. That's what we said a while ago. Fire everybody. And you have to then question, I mean, you know, we talk about Carter and his attitude. Well, who picked him? We could sit here and say, you know what, we love Carter and he would have been my first player off the board. I'm not interviewing him. I don't know his makeup or his work ethic. That's on them to figure it out. And I was shocked and disappointed with the first instance. This, I mean, how could you have this happen again for a young player? So you're right. It's beyond just the results of another lost season at 2-11. It's beyond the, well, they've got some talent, Sal. I think they're going to be all right. It's definitively over. They need to get rid of everybody, clean house totally, and bring somebody in, an adult who's going to be in charge and hold these players accountable from the beginning.
Yeah, and that's, listen, I was saying yesterday, and I was even saying before yesterday, that I thought there was a chance that the Giants were, we're really going to try to illuminate, you know, and look for the positives in Kafka. And I believe that there was that was the mindset, and give him a chance to earn the job. I said this on yesterday's show. But, you know, just watching now what appears to be an element of dysfunction and a lack of professionalism, the more you think about it, the more you need somebody who's done this, who could come in with a big sweeping broom and just get rid of the trash and really establish some professional parameters. And the thing about Joe Shane, so let me get this straight. The quarterback, who we all know is really good, and by the way, Theo Johnson, you got to make that play. That was a beautiful throw, 29 yards. I know it was a tightly contested play. That was a gorgeous throw by Jackson Dart, who's got all the skill you could possibly ask for. The problem is, Joe Shane didn't even ask for him. That was Dan table. So the one thing that's really shining out, you know, this year, the Giants probably had their quarterback of the future. It was the coach who's no longer there. Evan Neal, inactive. Abdul Carter, unprofessional. Banks stinks. Like, yeah, this is the end of the road, man. And we've talked about this so many freaking times with Shane. And thankfully, Dable's gone, but thankfully that conversation has ended. This needs to be a clean sweep, and the Giants need a big boy to run the room. They are a circus, now, more than I thought.
Now, I will say that I didn't underestimate the Patriots overall, but last night just thinking, hey, it's law of averages. The NFL is, you know, competitive league. Week to week, but you saw the disparity clearly last night in a team that has a legitimate chance to go all the way in New England. I still wouldn't pick them to win the Super Bowl, but my goodness. I mean, they got the quarterback in place. They
got
the head coach
in place.
They do everything well, so they just dismantle. I mean, they put a beating on the Giants. I thought that was going to happen to the Jets when they played. Remember a couple
yeah,
weeks
tight.
Ago,
yeah, sure.
I was saying, oh, it's going to get ugly, New England, and it was not the case with the Jets and Patriots. The Jets played them much, much tougher, much better, and New England didn't look as great as they did last night. And I think that says something about the Giants as well. I mean, why couldn't new defensive coordinator, same old defense. So everybody who's blaming Bowen, everybody who thought it was Dable, the losing continues to happen. Everybody's saying, well, without Jackson Dart comes back and they still get their clocks clean. So it is a total mess. And I don't think anybody could stand in the corner of Joe Shane any longer. It's just time for a clean total break. And even with that clean total break, I'm not so sure that it's going to be as good as everybody thinks it would be next year, even if it were the guy that I want in Bill Belichick. They'll be better. I don't know how much better they're going to be. When you got one of your best players, your top pick from a year ago, who doesn't want to show up to meetings on time or whatever it is he's doing, how do you fix that problem? You're kind of stuck with him.
I know, and that's why I think it's so much deeper. And
he's not productive, by the way.
No, that's the other thing, too. Right. I mean, if he was Lawrence Taylor he thought he was going to be, you know, in 2025, can you really look the other way? Probably not with social media. Like when LT was doing whatever LT was doing, which clearly were very different things than what Abdul Carter's doing. We get that. But if there's something behind closed doors, eventually it's going to get out in 2025. So you can't even totally look the other way. Now, again, you can't. It would be idiotic to exonerate Abdul Carter here. Nobody's doing that. And I hate to pass the buck because as a grown man, you're responsible for your own actions. And the one thing that I've learned, right, and you've been doing this a long time, I've been doing this a long time. Like, I think when I was younger and when I first got in the business, I had zero tolerance for young players making mistakes, like in terms of rules or just abiding by whatever organizational parameters were established. I grew up, my dad was strict, I went to a private school, like just do your freaking job. If you gotta be there at a certain time, show up, work hard, do your job and go and just move forward. As I've gotten older, right? You know, I think it's become easier for me to realize some of the mistakes that I made when I was younger. So I'm a little more lenient to these young players when they do something wrong. I don't quite crush them immediately on the first infraction. But last night, when it's the second infraction, which and the timing of it is incredibly alarming. It shows no growth. It shows no care. It shows no personal awareness. Those are the real things. But even after the game, when you had a chance to be contrite, you had a chance to step up to the microphone like a professional, like a buttoned-up young man, what do? You sound like a punk. You curse. You take no ownership. So they very well may have drafted a ticking time bomb who, number one, is not nearly as good as we thought, and number two, is incredibly unprofessional. That's a massive problem.
But the other problem is that they didn't have the proper people in place to get ahead of that. That's something that gets out of control because you don't have somebody setting the precedent.
Talking about like players or a coach?
No,
or
I'm talking
both.
About the coach. Well, it could be both. Yeah. But I'm thinking from a head coach perspective, GM head coach. First of all, they made the mistake on taking a guy like that. They had... Come on, man. You're drafting somebody third overall. You tell me you're not doing the homework on him. You tell me this is all of a sudden Abdul Carter got to the NFL and he's falling asleep. This wasn't happening in college.
Yeah, well, there were whispers that had some problems.
Okay, so they had to be aware of that. That's number one. Okay, you want to overlook that? I'm all for that because you believe in the talent.
Yep.
The next part of that has to be, hey, here's what he did there, which should be a red flag. How are you going to fix that red flag when you do select him and he becomes a professional at the NFL level? You better have people in place holding him accountable. Clearly, that was not the case. Now, that could be because they had a lame duck head coach, and Dable's like, I got bigger things to worry about than worrying about this guy falling asleep in the meeting. Like, get out there and go get the quarterback. I'm trying to figure out the offense, Jackson Dart. He's got a million other things going on. But if you had a solid foundation set, and you set the tone for Abdul Carter, what will be accepted, what is going to be expected of you as a professional, I think it would go a lot differently than the way that it did. And if he doesn't like that, you say this before you take him, then you don't take him. And if you do take him, then there's going to be ramifications that maybe he doesn't want to deal with, and you just have to suck it up to a loss.
And even if you do lay it out like the way you said, which is the way you should lay it out, he could look you in the face. He could be a great liar. You could buy it, hook, line, and sinker. You draft him, but he's the same guy that he was at Penn State. Yeah, there's, think about Dable. That's why you have to understand this is so much deeper than, having a bad 10 days or so or 2 weeks here for Abdul Carter. There is nobody on this planet, whether it's Shane, whether it's Dable, whether it's Kafka, whether it's Carter, I don't care who it is, Dexter Lawrence, Burns, anybody is going to tell me, and I'm going to buy it, that suddenly in the last 2 weeks, Abdul Carter's going rogue. Oh, suddenly he's starting to rattle the cage, and just out of nowhere, he's becoming unprofessional. Nonsense. So it's his fault. He's got to clean it up. But again, it speaks to a deeper issue to me, the heartbeat of the team. And the heartbeat of the team is such that they don't seem to care. I mean, I don't know, was it Burns? Somebody after the game was like, yeah, he's got a family. Like, I think the one guy who really called him out was Dexter Lawrence, which I respect. He's got to grow up. I mean, that's the bare minimum response. Of course he's got to grow up because he's impacting you. He's impacting the way you're perceived in terms of Mr. Mara and the rest of the Tish and Giants ownership. It's impacting the way the franchise is perceived. And I don't know who's going to come in here and clean up this slop, this mess of the New York Giants, but it's a Herculean task. They're a joke.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beat Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Lawrence in Oklahoma City starts us off. What's up, Lawrence?
You know, that first hit when Jackson Dart was sliding, that was dirty. The second hit when he was going out of bounds was dirty.
No, was it?
Theo Johnson did something about it. And then when the helmet happened with Gunner, and not one person on the special teams, guys who don't even play every down, can't get dirty and throw some hands. This is New York football. You're going to let them walk all over us in the first quarter, and you can't get dirty back. You're down 20. Give me a dirty play. Give me something. And then Jackson Dart in the press conference talking about, oh, well, I'm just an aggressive player. Like he hasn't learned nothing from his concussion. It's the same thing. This is what we do. This is clockwork. The Giants suck at an enormous pace, and I turn it on every week to watch it, and it's going to kill me. They're killing me.
Well, I mean, don't let that happen, Lawrence. Thank you for the call there, buddy. I appreciate the energy. I do. You know, but you are wrong with a few things. I think the energy is a bit misguided. First of all, the shot, oh, God, that was a vicious hit on the special teams.
Yeah, but it was just a dumb play. Oh, I thought you were talking about
I'm talking about the special teams.
Yeah, okay.
There's no need to go out and retaliate after that. That's an unfortunate, my body's going down, your body's going down, our heads collide. It's not a penalty because you're a runner. So, no, you're not going to go after him and try to get, you're just not going to do anything after that. The first hit on Dart, a tick late, but I thought he grazed above him. And I forget who the defender was. I thought he did a good enough job of trying to avoid any sort of direct head contact. The shot where he gets, wow, and they just showed it again, absolutely leveled. It's not often you see an NFL player de-cleated in the air and thrown 5 or 6 feet, clean hit. I don't want to hear it, dude. When you've got a foot on grass, you're free game. Just get out of bounds.
Well, that's the point. That was a stupid play by Jackson Dart. So all this talk about Dable and being reckless with him and what's Kafka going to do with the offense and is Dart going to protect himself? That was a stupid play by a kid who's just got to be smarter. I'm not saying he can't be aggressive.
He does.
There's no point. What are you doing? What do you get out of bounds? He stays in purposely, and he gets walloped. I mean, you can't have that happen for Jackson Dart. You just got to be smarter. You're right, BT. You don't see that happen for any player, let alone a quarterback.
I mean, that was like Pop Warner stuff.
Where you're trying to be a hero. Just go out of bounds, dude.
Yeah, and I know that you and I, we both respect the competitive nature, but now it's just bordering on reckless and dumb.
But not there.
I know. What, are you going to get an extra yard?
Yeah, I'm with you for a first down and a key spot.
Sure.
Diving instead of sliding.
Yeah.
Or putting your head down. And that play when you're running out of bounds anyway?
Pick your battles. Pick your battles. Now, I thought the broadcast team, Buck and Troy and the whoever the rules official was, thought they did a really good job.
Yeah.
Where, you know, because there were some people who were legitimately confused on that. First of all, when your cleat is in bounds, you are fair game. That's just common sense. Now, in real speed, I wanted to see if his foot was on the boundary or in bounds. He was clearly in bounds, clean hit. But what happened the last couple of years, and Mahomes was the one who did this, you know, the quarterbacks really started to stretch the boundaries and manipulate the rule. Oh, I know that you can't hit me. Let me get two extra yards.
Towing the line, literally. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, tap dance and you know, just, you know, straddle the line and get the extra yard or two. And it's at your expense, to your detriment. So they cleaned that up, and the NFL said, if you're in bounds, I don't care how, unless it's a head-to-head shot, how vicious it looks or how vicious it is, that's your problem. Not an us problem. That's a you problem.
Brad is calling from Smithtown. What's up, Brad?
Brad.
Gentlemen, I'm numb to New York sports. I feel like I kind of wish you started with the Mets because maybe it would have been a happier conversation. But here we are, the Giants, every single week, it's the same story, except this story closed the book. What it did is the last couple weeks, what they did is they tried to make it seem, okay, we're up 10, we're going to lose the game. We have talent, we're right there. Just like you said in the beginning, Sal, the Giants are right there. The Giants could make Kafka the head coach. The Giants could do this, could do that. Last night, closed the book on everything. Abdul Carter is a kid. He better learn his lesson soon, because what you guys were talking about when they were drafting him, he was a must-have. Obviously, there were a lot of things going on that could have been a James Franklin thing at Penn State. At the end of the day, Kafka is not a leader of men. Yesterday, listening to him in the press conference, he did the right thing by sitting Abdul Carter because of what he did. But when you listen to him in the press conference, he sounds like a blithering idiot. And Jackson Dart, if you listen to his press conference, nothing is going to change. Until the kid gets hit 7 to 10 more times in the head, and unfortunately, and hopefully not, get another concussion, he's not going to learn. He's going to be the same kid he was in high school and college.
He'll learn.
He said at the press conference yesterday.
He'll learn at some point, Brad, and we appreciate the passion and fire. Good stuff right there. We will get to the Mets stuff coming up in a little bit, obviously, with Devin Williams. He will learn eventually. Right now, he's just too, I don't want to say immature, but in his mind, he still thinks this is high school or college, and he could get away with the aggressive style that he played with at those levels. Maybe that hit last night will wake him up a little bit. You can't. It's a different speed. It's a different physical or physicality at the NFL level. There's no way Jackson Dart will have a long, successful career playing the way that he does. So this is not trying to change who he is.
Nope.
It's just trying to adapt as you get older and mature and learn to pick your battles, as you said before, BT. Just
basically refining his approach. I mean, how many NFL quarterbacks with that kind of a style, you know, play deep into a career? I mean, Cam Newton's the one who comes to mind, but like when he hit the wall, he hit the wall. And by the way, Cam Newton, what, 6'5", 250? Two fit, like just a thick trunk, yeah, and thick thighs, and like just thick. You know, the difference between Jackson Dart, and we said this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, let's modernize it. Forget about Cam. Let's go to Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen's 6'5", 240, 245. He can absorb things differently than a guy who's 6'2", 220.
I've never seen those guys take hits like that last night.
That was as vicious as it gets.
I mean,
it really was.
He looked like a kicker getting crushed yeah, on air.
How about the kicker? I mean, the Giants are kicking worms. They're kicking dirt.
I mean, come on.
What in the hell was that?
That's an embarrassment is what that is.
That's one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Sports.
Here's the snap. Giants for the kick. And he kicks it. Worm. It's up and it's good.
Baldy was
true blue.
Baldy's breakdown was great. Well, I've
did he really? I didn't see what he did.
Well, he just was showing. He's like, what is this? What the hell? And then they cut to Dart, and he's like, yeah, exactly. What the hell?
Yeah,
happened?
He did say that, Dart. Yeah.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. We'll get to the baseball coming up in a little bit. We'll continue though with your calls on the Giants. 888-808-1019. Why last night was actually a great thing. We'll do that when we come back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Those are little things. Those don't mean anything. It's just, it's football talk. It's X, above the X's and O's stuff. But when you look at it, you're like, no wonder you got beat. How the hell are you supposed to run with Kyle Williams when you're playing press coverage? You can't. Mm. So is that on Paulson Adebo? Or is that on the play call?
So we're going back to blaming the DC again.
I'm not. I mean, but.
No, I know. I get it. It's funny.
It's like I look at that and I'm like, how did you think you were winning that?
Yeah. Yesterday at about 5:30, as we were previewing this game, I asked Tiki, Sean Lugie, I said, look, over the last 6 weeks, it's always been blame this guy, blame that guy. Mm-hmm. First, it was you got to bench Russ for Jackson Dart. You got it. Then it was you got to fire Daboll, and you got it. Then it was you have to fire Shane Bowen, and you got it. Mm-hmm. And I was curious, if things go bad, who gets the blame?
Yeah, Charlie Bowen did okay.
I haven't heard Charlie Bowen's name mentioned by anybody.
He did all right. It just, certain situations they took advantage of. I think it became predictable at a moment. And then we know who the best offensive coordinator in football is right now. Josh McDaniels.
He's damn good.
And he took advantage of it. Drake May had zero trouble diagnosing what was in front of him. Zero. And he picked them apart.
Let's go to Tom in Howell, New Jersey. Hey, Tom. Hello, Tom.
Tom, what's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going?
All's good.
I got a quick comment, I guess, for Tiki, and then I want Evan's opinion as an IFO about something else.
Go ahead.
Evan, you mentioned about the days of Tiki Barber and Michael Strahan. Just reminded me, I don't remember if you know the documentary, you know, America's Game on the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember Michael Strahan saying on one of those videos that, you know, Tom Coughlin had a rule that if you were not 5 minutes early for a meeting, you were late. You know, right. That was the mindset.
That was right.
So, you know, obviously things were a little different back then.
Yep, we all got fined.
Evan, for you as an IFO, I just wanted to know about Jackson Dart's play last night also. Do you think he was a little more hesitant being, you know, the whole get down, running thing, kind of like rubbed off on him that he was kind of more hesitant as a quarterback standing in the pocket?
I didn't sense that at all.
Yeah.
I didn't sense, here's the way I would view Jackson Dart right now. And we'll get into this more because I think it's a worthy discussion. I think everybody, Giant fans, the national media, everybody is being way too sensitive to every decision he makes when it comes to sliding, not sliding, or running and making a play.
Yeah.
And I ask you this question because I'm going to give you my IFO opinion mm-hmm. on what I thought at the time. When he took the monster hit out of bounds.
It wasn't, but keep going.
But it looked like one. It wasn't.
It looked like it. It wasn't.
It looked like this violent, crazy hit. It led to a fight right after. You saw Theo Johnson immediately say, I got to stand up for my guy.
If that was a fight, then I got a house to say.
Well, fights are used.
Pawtucket.
Man, why do you pick Pawtucket of all places?
I don't know. It just popped in my head.
I think you're going to say Nantucket.
I think it's Bridge in Brooklyn to sell people to.
No, but it's the bridges have already been sold. That cliche's been around for so
long. What about
long.
Swampland in Florida?
How do you believe in the Swampland in Florida? That's been around forever. How about a little home in Pawtucket?
He's being original, Tommy. That's exactly what he's saying.
I'm trying to make it my own cliche, my own idiom.
On that play.
I guess that makes me an idiot, though.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll find out Friday at 5:30 on our brand new segment, Idiots with Idioms. I think Jackson Dart's trying to make a football play. He's trying to get a first down. And there's a fine line between not trying to do that and also being safe. Mm-hmm. Now, there's always that risk that someone's going to try to hit you, which is exactly what happened. But I looked at that and said, am I really killing Jackson Dart for that play?
No.
Or are we being too sensitive about our discourse around him?
First of all, Theo Johnson, he did the exact right thing by confronting Ellis, Christian Ellis.
Yes, with two S's, by the way.
Yes. Mm. The problem was he didn't actually really confront him. How did he get a penalty on that play?
That was a Fugazi penalty. He shouldn't have called anything, honestly.
He walked up to Christian Ellis. Maybe bumped into him. He walked up aggressively. Maybe he bumped into him a little bit. Perhaps he said something offensive, and that's why he got sticks and stones may break my bones type of thing. But I did not see a penalty on what Theo Johnson did.
I almost feel like they had to because it led to the, if you don't want to call it a fight, we'll call it a skirmish.
Yeah.
Is that a better word?
Yeah, but that was not egregious. He just kind of like was in his face.
I agree with you, and it completely short-circuited the drive because remember, Theo was called for a false start, which pushed them back, and then Dart made a 7-yard run, which would have set up a 3rd and 1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
He was a little bit short of a first down. I don't think they would have gone for it because they were on the negative side, and knowing Mike Kafka, they probably wouldn't have. They would have punted.
No, it would have been Jackson Dart's run was on 2nd down.
Right, which I'm saying it would have been 3rd and 1.
3rd and 1.
So I apologize. You're right. I don't know why I'm right. Mind blanking. You're right. You're right. No, it would have been a 3rd and 1.
Instead, it was 3rd and 15. 16 or whatever the heck it ended up being.
Exactly. But I didn't look at that play as anything egregious. You know what I thought it was?
What?
I thought it was horrible timing for the discourse around Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
I'm being dead serious. The guy just missed a few weeks with a concussion. All we're talking about is, does he slide enough? Does he take too many hits? And on the second drive of the game, he takes, and I do agree with you, Tiki, after watching the replay, I didn't think it was that bad of a hit, but on the surface, it felt like, a big hit.
Yeah.
A hit a quarterback normally doesn't take.
Yeah, but it's a hit that a lot of football players take, and I promise you, that hit did not hurt. I know you can look at it and say it over and over again, man, that was brutal. That was vicious. That's one that's going to live forever. That was his welcome to the NFL hit type of thing.
Right.
That hit does not hurt because he has no force. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he just goes, it's like inertia, right? He goes with the force of Christian Ellis and just topples over. Now, if he's leaning in and trying to combat Christian Ellis's force, then that's going to hurt. But because he absorbed all of that force. The only thing that hurt him maybe was hitting the ground.
Yeah.
That hit did not hurt. I promise you it didn't hurt. And that's why he was so dismissive of it after the game, despite being asked over and over and over and over again about, you're going to protect yourself, you're going to protect yourself, you're going to protect yourself. He's running out of bounds.
Well, but this is the problem sometimes. And this is why I freaking hate primetime football sometimes. Because everyone else, I'm not talking about you, me, and everyone listening. We're all New York football fans, New York sports fans. Even if you're a Jet fan, you watch the Giants, you know what's going on.
Of course.
But we are welcoming in the national community to our game and our team. And they spent a lot of time on that broadcast on the pregame show talking about Jackson Dart and being reckless and protecting himself. And Troy Aikman's like, he's Jim McMahon. Can he protect himself? That's all we heard about. So 5 plays in, when he takes a hit, and I'm using bunny ears right now, or quotes, whatever you call it, the discourse explodes.
Right.
I don't think he did anything that crazy.
I didn't think so. I thought he protected himself significantly better in this game by, one, not running. Think about the 2-point conversion, right? They scored the touchdown.
That was unbelievable.
To make it,
when he escaped
make
like 15
it,
times?
Right. It's now, it's whatever it is, 13 to whatever the score was for the 30 to 13. And he's just scrambling.
Mm.
2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, he's going to try to run that in.
Right.
Like he's buying as much time as possible to throw the ball, not to try to run it in. Because he could have tried to run to the right side after he cleared it, whatever, the fourth time back to the right side. He could have run and just powered his way into the end zone. Instead, he waited for Darius Slayton to come down field to him. And he threw a high ball, hand caught it, and scored a 2-point conversion. Like, to me, that was growth. Because in previous iterations of that type of play, he's running. He didn't.
Yeah.
So I think he's learned. And again, I'll go keep saying it. That hit did not hurt.
It was perception.
It looked bad.
It looked bad, and it happened so early in the game after all this discourse
right.
about Jackson Dart being reckless that it was the perfect storm of let's go nuts about something.
Right.
That's exactly what happened. More on Jackson Dart. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.